If you've ever talked with me, maybe you've heard me say this proverb before, because I love this proverb. So before I tell you which one it is, let's ask God to bless our time. Father, thank you for your word, and help us, God, to be wise people. Help us, God, to grow in maturity and wisdom. And we pray, Father, that you would take this word and that you would massage it into our hearts, that we might begin to live it out in the way we interact with one another. Would you take just a few moments quietly? Don't say anything out loud, but just ask God to speak to your heart today through his word. And then would you take just a few moments and pray for me, that God would speak through me what he wants to say. Well, Father, this time is your time, and our hearts, we desire, God, that they would be open to your Spirit working in us. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, I think this is my favorite proverb. You know, if you want a really good practice, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And most months, or many months, have 31 days. So if you want a really good practice, take one chapter of Proverbs every day and just read through it. And do that over the course of the year. Because wisdom in the book of Proverbs comes as we hear these words, as they massage, they get into our hearts, and as we think about them. So make that, I would encourage you just to make that a practice. You're, what, 7 days into August now, so maybe you binge and read 1 to 7, but then start on Monday with 8 and just go through and read a chapter a day in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, we think Solomon wrote this, but Proverbs 27 verse 14 is my favorite proverb, I think. And here's what it says. And this is from the English Standard Version, the ESV. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. All right? How's that for a proverb? How's that for a nugget of wisdom? That's one of my favorite proverbs. Whoever blesses his neighbor loudly in the morning, to him it will be reckoned as a curse. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, we're going to talk today about how we communicate with one another. How we communicate with one another with what we might say is sensitivity. And here's a word for you. Maybe you've heard this word before, tact. Tact. How do we communicate skillfully with one another? I read a brief story by Michael Lebeau. And he said tact is one of the lost arts of the 20th century, and we could say the 21st century too. He tells the story, I heard about a man and his wife who had a dog, and they loved this dog. This dog was, especially for the wife, this was one of her favorite things, and you know, that they had was this dog. She just loved this dog. And one day she was going on an overseas extended trip for business. And when she got to London, she phoned back home and said, "How's the dog?" And the husband, as hopefully, guys, you don't do this, but the husband, when the wife said, "How's the dog?" the husband just said, "Well, the dog's dead. The dog died." And so the wife was obviously, you know, shaken by that, and she said, "Well, why did you do that?" And he said, "Well, what do you mean? The dog died. So you asked how the dog was. I told you the dog died." And she said, "Yeah, but you could do it a little more sensitively, right? You could spread it out. So for instance, when I get to London and say, 'How's the dog?' you could say something like, 'Well, the dog went up on the roof.' And okay, then when I get to Rome and I call and you say, 'Well, the dog had an accident and fell off of the roof.' And then when I get to Budapest, then you could say, 'Well, the doctors did everything they could, but they just couldn't save the dog.'" And he goes, "Oh, okay, well, I guess that Makes sense. And so then she said, well, how's mom doing? And he said, she's up on the roof. You know, sensitivity and tact. How do we communicate with one another? Because, you know, one of the things that we sometimes forget in communication is that communication is not just a one-way thing. In order for us to communicate and really communicate with another person, there is the sending of information and there is the receiving of information. So in order for me to say that I have communicated with someone, what the person receives has to be what I intended to say. So George Bernard Shaw, he said, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. See, so many times we say things to people and we think that is communicating, but it isn't communicating well. So how do we communicate with one another in a way that what we want to say is received by the person to whom we are talking? That's what I think this proverb considers, and that's what I want us to think about today. And kids, incidentally, let me just tell you, kids, if you can learn how to do this, if you can learn how to communicate with your parents, this will save you a lot of heartache, okay? Not just in the years to come, as you go out into the world, as you get a job, as you have a family maybe of your own, certainly it'll benefit you there to learn how to communicate well with people. But listen, if you can learn how to talk to your parents in a way where they receive what you're trying to say, oh, let me tell you, life will go good for you. Life will go well, all right? So, listen, how do we communicate? How do we say things to other people in such a way that they'll receive it and hear it? Because, look, we have important things to say to one another. And communication is difficult in the best of times. But what about when we have to communicate something difficult to someone? What about when we have to communicate reproof, right? Where we have to correct someone? What about when we have to confront someone? How do we do that in a way that the person who receives it hears what we're saying? Well, that's what we want to think about today. So in Proverbs 27, again, we think Solomon wrote this, but maybe you can picture the scene. Maybe Solomon is sitting on the portico, the porch of his palace, and having his coffee in the morning, I don't know. And he's looking out over the kingdom, and then maybe he sees this guy coming down the road, and he passes by the house of his neighbor and just obnoxiously and loudly starts blessing his neighbor. In that day, blessings weren't just a quick hello. A blessing was an event, right? So when you would bless your neighbor, you would say, and God bless you, brother, and God bless your children. May they bear you many grandchildren, and may God bless your crop. May it be bountiful. It was an event. It wasn't just a quick hello. And so imagine Solomon sitting and watching maybe this scene taking place, this loud, obnoxious individual early in the morning shouting these blessings on his neighbor. And maybe you can see why at the end he concludes that it will be counted as cursing. So how do we communicate effectively with one another in a sensitive way? This is wisdom for living, all right? The first thing we see in this particular verse is that timing is everything, isn't it? Timing is everything. What does he say? He says, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning. Timing is everything when it comes to communicating what is in our hearts to another person. This guy, whoever he was, this neighbor, came shouting early in the morning. Now, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with early in the morning. In some cultures, maybe this would be okay, right? I was recently I was recently somewhere, and a guy was making an appointment for 7:30 in the morning. And the guy, the other guy said, 7:30, that's not morning. He says, that's the middle of the night, right? Different cultures think about this differently. But this guy, this fellow in the text, came shouting early in the morning. Now, I don't know how you feel about mornings. I don't particularly mind mornings, but maybe other people do. You know, some people really hate the morning. The morning doesn't start for them till 9 or 10, maybe. Mandy has a coffee mug with Ariel, the Little Mermaid, on it, and it says, "Once I get my coffee, then you can be part of my world," right? That was her little song. And so, you know, Mandy needs her coffee in the morning. But this is early in the morning, and this guy comes shouting a blessing to his neighbor. And what we see, I think, here is that sensitivity and tact in communicating considers when the other person will be most receptive to what they have to say. See, to communicate with tact considers when the other person will be most receptive in receiving what they have to say. The mature man, a mature woman, knows that truth is still truth, whether you say it immediately or whether you take a break and wait a little bit until an opportune time presents itself. This is what we see here in this text. You've probably had this experience just like I have. In the heat of the moment, something happens, and you feel this deep urge, this emotion welling up inside of you. And you feel like, okay, I need to communicate this right now or it's going to explode. Have you ever felt that? Somebody's done something and you feel like, okay, I need to address this. And I guess I need to do it now because my emotions are about to just explode and come out. But wisdom and maturity is the ability to hold those back until there is an appropriate time. The wisdom and maturity says, okay, this is what I feel, but this isn't the best time. This isn't the time in which this person is going to be most receptive. And so wisdom and maturity is able to step back and to press the pause button until an opportune time presents itself. You know, many times, I know for me, I just need to calm down. And it doesn't mean that I'm worked up externally, but internally, I'm a mess. And I need to just step back and to calm down and to gather myself. Proverbs chapter 15 says that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh answer stirs up anger. A harsh word stirs up anger. And those times where your emotion is like a volcano about to erupt, you know that what's going to come out of you at that time isn't going to be good. And so maturity is able to take that truth which needs to be communicated and to say, I'm going to save this for an appropriate time. I'm going to save this for an appropriate time. So the mature, the wise person thinks about the best time to speak. When will this person be most receptive to hearing what I have to say? Now, especially, this is especially true, isn't it, when you have to confront someone, maybe about something that they've done that's hurt you or that's offended you, or something that they're doing that's hurting themselves. Because even in the best of times, nobody really wants to receive confrontation, do they? Nobody really wants to receive admonishment or reproof or correction, even in the best of times. And so it makes it even more important for us to consider the timing in which we say what we have to say, because we want the person to be most receptive. We want the person to be able to hear what we have to say. Even if they ignore it, at least we want them to have an understanding of what we're saying. So the mature person thinks about the best time to speak. And, you know, a mature person doesn't just, You know, when we talk about holding back those emotions for an appropriate time, a mature person doesn't just kind of verbally vomit on people, all right? Maturity and wisdom, a wise person is able to take a moment to compose herself and to allow those emotions to cool before she goes into the conversation, right? A mature person doesn't just blow up and then call it virtue, right? Have you ever met someone that will just kind of explode all over someone else and then say, well, I'm just being honest, all right? Have you ever met someone like that? That'll just say whatever is on their heart, whatever is on their mind, with no filter, with no sense of sensitivity or tact, will just say whatever's there and then say, oh, I'm just being honest, as if that makes it virtuous. But listen, the scripture calls that person a fool. That isn't wise living. That isn't maturity. Maturity is able to hold those emotions in check until it becomes appropriate to address them. So think about Proverbs chapter 12. A prudent man, a wise man, keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of the fool blurts out folly. It's the fool in Proverbs who just kind of explodes all over those around him. It's the prudent man, it's the wise man, it's the mature man who is able to compose himself and to wait for the appropriate time. Or Proverbs 14:29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Consider Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And again, remember that when Proverbs talks about wisdom, it talks about maturity. A mature individual is able to keep himself under control until the time is right to communicate what needs to be communicated. I was going to read this text earlier. I'll read it now. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So maturity and wisdom allow us to compose ourselves until the time comes when it's appropriate to communicate what we need to communicate. A mature, wise man is patient and calm. Proverbs 25:15, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Or is it a gentle tongue? A thought-out word is very powerful indeed. It's very powerful indeed. So when it comes to good communication, when it comes to communicating effectively with those that we need to communicate with, when it comes to that, timing is everything. Timing makes a huge difference. This man said something that was good. He offered a blessing to his neighbor, but he did it at the wrong time. He did it at the wrong time. Timing is everything. But when it comes to communicating, when it comes to communicating well, timing is everything. But what you say is everything else. So timing is critical, but then the way that you say what you say is also equally important. So again, this guy in verse 14 said the right thing, but he said it in the wrong way. What he said was good. We should bless one another, right? We should wish one another well and say, yeah, I'm praying for you, these kinds of things. Those are good things. We should do that. What he said was good, and it was right, and it was true. It isn't what he said. It was when he said it and how he said it that caused it to be totally missed. And how does he say it? Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice. With a loud voice. This is how he did it. If he would have thought about what he was doing, he would have realized hey, wait a minute, maybe my neighbor's not a morning guy. Maybe my neighbor has little kids and he and his wife desperately want them to sleep late, right? And if he had thought about that, then maybe he, in offering a blessing, maybe he would have slipped them a note. Or he would have at least said it a little quiet, more quietly. When our kids were little, you could have come to our door with a bag full of money. But if you came early in the morning and you woke my kids up, I hated you, right? So he should have thought about how he was going to present this blessing to his neighbor, but he didn't. And because he didn't, notice in the text, it wasn't just that the neighbor didn't receive the blessing. The neighbor considered the blessing a curse. It wasn't just that he missed the intent. It was that he totally missed it. He considered it as a curse. That ever happened to you? Where someone has said something to you and maybe they meant it as constructive or they meant it as a compliment, but the way they said it, you thought, man, this person's insulting me. And you got mad. You got angry. So because of the timing, because of the way that he said what he wanted to say, his neighbor totally missed what should have been a good thing. Sensitivity and tact considers very carefully how it communicates, how we say what we need to say. Vocabulary choice is critical, right? Tact and sensitivity, maturity in communication speaks to issues. It doesn't speak against people. And there's an important distinction between those. You know, typically when we don't have all the facts or when we're kind of shooting from the hip, typically when we do that, we end up attacking people instead of talking about the issues, right? And that's not a good thing. We're never called to attack people verbally. We're never called to spew venom on people. We're called to address issues. We're called to talk about sin. We're called to talk about things, but we're not called to verbally assault people. Now, hopefully that goes without saying. I'm sure it does. But we're called to speak to issues and actions. In Proverbs 15, the heart of the righteous weighs its answer. It's in weighing the answer that we should come to the place where we realize this. Okay, I'm not here to attack this person. I'm here to think about this particular issue or this particular action. I'm not here to attack this person. See, we have to be careful, don't we? Because our words are powerful, aren't they? Our words penetrate and our words spread. They're very, very, very powerful, our words are. So, we can't get them back. And maybe you've had that experience before where you've said something and maybe you didn't weigh your answer appropriately ahead of time. And so what you said, you would be thrilled if you could somehow reach out and grab it and bring it back. Or maybe you've composed an email. Those are words too. You've composed an email or a Facebook post and you maybe accidentally pressed send and you wish, oh man, can I get that back? Can I go out into cyberspace and just kind of pull that one back? I want that back. The heart of the righteous weighs its answer. Because words penetrate. Words are powerful and they spread. And once they're out there, we can't get them back. And so just like here, the overall truth, the very thing that we want to communicate can be totally misunderstood if we don't think carefully about how we say what we want to say. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, reckless words pierce like a sword. Reckless words pierce like a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. See, that's what we really want to do, isn't it, when we communicate with one another. We want to bring healing. We want to be positive. We want a positive influence. Even if we're confronting someone, our goal is restoration, isn't it? Our goal is healing. So we want to communicate healing to one another. And yet, our words can undermine our intention if we're not careful. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Attitude and strategy are also important. So, you know, our attitude when it comes to communicating with another person. I think about Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And most people kind of stop there and say, okay, well, I can't say anything then negative to another person. I can't be discerning at all in the presence of another person. That would violate that text. But that's not what Jesus says, is it? I mean, that whole section on in Matthew 7 is about how we confront other people, how we confront sin that we see in other people. And what Jesus says there is that we confront, but we confront with perspective. So we confront with humility. So our attitude in communicating with one another is to be one of humility, in which we recognize, okay, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect here. I'm not in a position to talk down to this person as I make this known, as I communicate this. I'm not in the position to talk down to this person because I'm a sinner too, and I could very easily stumble into the same thing that this person has stumbled into. So when we communicate with one another, how we communicate must be framed with an attitude of humility. An attitude that says, okay, listen, I've got to get the log out of my own eye. I have to go into this with the understanding that I am not perfect either. I need Jesus too. And that's how we approach communication as we think about our words and what they look like. And our strategy is always, as we said, our strategy is always restoration. It's healing. That this, our ultimate goal in communicating with one another isn't to belittle someone. It's not to discourage them. Our ultimate goal is to see healing take place. It's to see growth take place. All the more reason for us to think very carefully about how we say what we say. And so when we go to confront, or when we go to speak, we go affirming the relationship that we have with the other person. We offer something positive about the relationship that we have and that we prize, that we value with the other person. There are three men that I have known in my life that have done more to shape me than any other men that I've encountered. And these were men in my life that could say anything to me. They could say anything to me, and I would listen to it, and I would not just take it on board, but I would, as best I could, allow myself to be persuaded by it, because I loved and I cared for these men so deeply. And one of those guys used to say all the time, he said, everybody wants to feel listened to, taken seriously, and understood. Every person wants to feel listened to, taken seriously, and understood. And so when we communicate with one another, how we say what we say is so important. How we communicate with the other person, even in the midst of confrontation, that we want them to feel listened to and taken seriously and understood. It's so important how we say what we say. So how do we communicate with sensitivity and tact? Timing is important, but equally as important is how we say what we say. Our tone, our attitude, our intent, our strategy, all of those things are equally important. And listen, just as an aside, let me just say this. No devices, okay? If you have to communicate something with someone that is important, especially if it involves reproof or confrontation of some sort, Put the device away. Don't do it over Facebook. All right? Don't do it over email. Don't do it through a text message. If you have to use something like Skype or FaceTime, fine, but try to get with the person face-to-face to communicate, because too much goes wrong with devices. So the bottom line in all of this, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. The bottom line in terms of application is, if you just remember the golden rule, right? Do you remember the golden rule? I think I have it here. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. The golden rule, right? Remember the golden rule, and when it comes to communicating, if you take the time to think, okay, how would I want to receive this kind of information? How would I want to receive this correction? How would I want to receive this reproof? That will help you think about how you should communicate to the person that you're talking to. So, do unto others, right? Speak with the same kinds of words, the same attitude, the same kind of tone, the same intent that you would want someone to speak to you. Because listen, let me just tell you this. Listen, one day you will be on the receiving end of maybe a confrontation or maybe a reproof or an admonition. And I can assure you that the timing and the way in which that person approaches that particular conversation will be of importance to you at that point, won't it? So if we take the time to step back and to think first about the when and the how, then we'll have fewer regrets when we come to the end of the conversation. So take a break and think. Because remember that your goal in communicating is that they would receive what you intended to say, right? You want there to be a connection, that those things would be the same. So take a break and think first about the when and the how. And then you won't have to go back and apologize later. So again, the problem with this text in Proverbs 27, the problem in the text isn't what was said. That was good. It was right for him to seek to bless his neighbor. The problem was in how he said it. He was loud and he was obnoxious. And the problem was when he said it, early in the morning. It was the right thing, the wrong time, and in the wrong way. And because of that, it was totally misunderstood. Totally misunderstood. Communicating is, in some ways, an art. Good communicators are not born. We're not born with the sensitivity to consider another person's feelings. We're born as those who are interested in ourselves and want to look out for ourselves. But good communicators can be made. That's what wisdom does. As we grow, as we become wise and mature in our faith, the Spirit of God works in us, and we can become good at communicating with one another. So, don't be like the fool who feels the freedom to kind of verbally vomit on his victim and to call it virtuous. Instead, be like the wise man who does due diligence in delivering his words with sensitivity and tact. You know, maybe some of you are hearing that and thinking, you know, I just don't think I can do that. I've never been good at that. I'm not patient enough to do that. Well, remember, none of us are in ourselves. Think about the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit of God, what God, the Spirit works in us, is love and joy and what's the third one? Patience. love and joy and patience. So, yeah, we can't do this on our own. This is yet another place where we require the grace of God, the Spirit of God, to work in us and make us what we cannot be in ourselves. So you may not be able to do this, but God the Holy Spirit working in you can. He can make you a good communicator. He can give you the ability when the moment comes and you feel that sense of emotion welling up in you. He can give you the ability to say, whoa, hold on, let me step back and think about the best time to discuss this. He can do it, even though you can't. So that's where our hope lies. Our hope doesn't lie in our ability and our skill. Our hope lies in God the Spirit's ability to work in us. So let's pray and ask for His help to do that. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We do know that God, so often, not in this exact way, but in ways like this, we often don't think about when we need to say what we want to say. We often don't think about how we should say what we want to say. God, we do need Your help. We thank You that Your Spirit works in us to produce in us a love and a patience and a kindness and a gentleness and a self-control that we don't possess in and of ourselves. So we pray, God, that Your Spirit would be at work in us, helping us to be what You've called us to be. Maybe we can take just a few moments just quietly and just think. There's anything specific that God might be saying about how you need to apply this text directly to your particular context. God, we pray that You would give us the strength and the grace to act upon what we have heard, to act upon how You have impressed our hearts even in these last few moments, that our lives might reflect more the lives of those who are mature and wise. Father, help us. Help us as we go from this place today to go in peace and love and joy, to go in the grace that You have freely given and continue to freely give. We pray, God, that if there are any here today that have never come to the place where they've trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ, that today might be the day where they turn their hearts to You and believe the good news that Jesus died to make them new, to forgive them of their sin and give them life, true life, in the here and now and into eternity. So go with us now, God, and help us this week to live for You as we look like Jesus. We thank You, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.